1420 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Cammie McCormick. A prisoner swap between the U.S. and Russia brings home WNBA star Brittany Griner, but leaves behind American Paul Whelan, Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
This was not a choice of which American to bring home. The choice was one or none.
The U.S. released arms dealer Victor Boot. Correspondent Nancy Cordes reports the swap has its critics.
There's no question in the eyes of U.S. officials that she was being used as a pawn. And there's no question that there's concern that other bad actors, other nations will see what Russia was able to gain here and might think about doing something similar.
Griner was held for 10 months in Russia on drug charges. Whelan has been held for nearly 4 years. The House has given final approval to legislation protecting same-sex and interracial marriages.
The motion is adopted.
Here's our correspondent, Scott McFarlane.
Under this newly passed law, it guarantees the federal government must acknowledge a same-sex marriage if it's done legally in a state. So somebody who lives with a same-sex partner in a state where same-sex marriage is presumably outlawed could go across state lines, have it done legally elsewhere, and have that marriage recognized, no matter where they are in the country, by the federal government.
President Biden is expected to quickly sign the legislation. New opportunities for the youngest Americans to get their COVID shots, as Alexander Ten reports.
The FDA has expanded its emergency use authorization for the updated Moderna and Pfizer COVID vaccines down to 6 months old. Kids in this youngest age group will be able to get an updated COVID vaccine as their third shot, at least 2 months after their second. The move comes amid what officials say is a, quote, woefully slow uptake of the new vaccine.
If you're hitting the road over the upcoming holidays, here's some good news from correspondent Jim Grisula.
The national average for a gallon of regular unleaded gas is now $3.33, according to AAA. That's a penny less than it was this time last year. The nationwide average price for a gallon of diesel fuel remains just over $5.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen today marked a milestone in U.S. history when she held up a newly minted $5 bill signed for the first time ever by two women.
The first bank notes with my signature are being delivered this month to the Federal Reserve, and they'll be in circulation starting in the new year.
The other signature from the first Native American treasurer. And on Wall Street, the Dow closed up 182 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can.
Andy's been suffering from ugly, yellow toe fungus for years.
I tried everything. Every drugstore product, every home remedy, prescriptions from my doctor, nothing worked.
And then he discovered Crystal Flush, the new and different at-home treatment that flushes out fungus fast.
Crystal Flush is different. After just a few weeks, my fungus was gone. And I mean 100% disappeared.
The secret is its breakthrough two-step system. Its non-prescription serum contains the maximum strength FDA-approved ingredient. And the unique capsule helps balance the body's natural defense to fungus.
I can now go barefoot at the pool and at the gym. Honestly, this has changed everything for me.
Join the thousands of people who have finally ended their struggle with embarrassing toe fungus. Crystal Flush is not available in stores, but for a limited time, you can try it risk-free for 30 days. Go to crystalflush.com. That's CrystalFlush.com. Show off your toes with confidence. Visit crystalflush.com now or call 800-304-2925.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. It's been a good year for Wisconsin, with the state dipping below 3% unemployment in the last 12 months, and the current unemployment rate sits at 3.3%. But a worker shortage is still projected in the coming years. There are roughly 2 job openings for every job seeker in Wisconsin. So the state is trying to re-engage people who've been out of the workforce for a variety of reasons, including incarceration. There are currently 10 job centers in correctional facilities helping inmates secure employment after they're released. Catholic Charities held an open house at their new facility on Grand Avenue in Wausau on Wednesday at the Community Partners Campus building. Multiple services will soon be available in one location, including a warming shelter, food pantry, office space, and services for elderly. After 4 years of planning, construction is on track to be completed and they will open in February. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 24 tonight under cloudy skies with a chance for snow. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, highs around 33, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 27. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Responsibility and gullibility. We must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Three, two, one. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's a live new Dom Thursday. How you doing, little buddy?
I am awesome, Crudy. Happy Friday Eve to you. Evan on the board, our fair audience. A glorious day indeed.
Dominic, I understand. We've got a fine guest coming in the happy hour. He'll probably wear a suit. James Santel joins us at 5 Central Time. Yeah. And tomorrow, Dominic, we've got a fine guest. You've done some work this week.
Yeah.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us at 4:30 tomorrow in no small part to celebrate perhaps her largest legislative achievement since she has joined the U.S. Senate. Dom, the same-sex marriage act, I guess, has passed the House of Representatives.
The Respect for Marriage Act, yes.
Thank you for correcting the record. I knew I was misdescribing it. Perhaps a little surprising, Dom, got a couple of Republican votes from the congressional contingent from the great state of Wisconsin.
All right, we'll take it. We'll take it.
Let me define what a couple of votes are, Dom. Journal Sentinel reporting Wisconsin Republicans, U.S. Rep. Mike Gallagher and Brian Steil joined House Republicans on Thursday in voting to codify same-sex marriage protections into law, breaking with the state's 3 other GOP congressmen. And, of course, Van Orden from the 3rd has not yet been seated, Dom. But knowing how he hates the young LGBTQ people, I can't imagine he'd have been all down for the same-sex marriage.
Oh, man, he's harassing a 17-year-old volunteer at the local library for having, what, a specific table of books that he took issue with, so he came back and checked them all out in a huff. Yeah, that guy, I doubt he would vote yes on this.
So I would remind the listeners from here in this great state, Dom, despite the fact that we've got a Democratic governor in this fact, what, top of the ticket, Ron Johnson barely beat Mandela Barnes, 27,000 votes. Yet our congressional districts favor Republicans 6-2 in a coin flip state. 6-2. Very effective gerrymander that happened here in the great state of Wisconsin.
Oh, indeed.
But anyways, let's get back to the vote. Today's vote. The legislation, which also codifies interracial marriage protections. That's where they lost Glenn Grothman, I suspect. passed the House on a 258-169 vote after moving through the Senate last week with bipartisan support. Now 39 Republicans voted for the Respect for Marriage Act today, down from the 47 who supported the measure when it initially passed the House in July. The bill now heads to President Joe Biden's desk, of course, for a signature to make it a law. We all watched the Schoolhouse Rock growing up. Just a bill till the president signs it.
Yeah, I don't remember the super PACs being described or the money flowing around. Really, I think SNL did a wonderful version of that.
We got a modern day update. Gallagher previously opposed the bill during the summer vote, claiming he had concerns the bill would allow for polygamy.
Oh, no!
Dominic, a bipartisan group of senators led by Wisconsin Democrat Tammy Baldwin amended the measure to address that issue, as well as broader GOP concerns over religious freedom protections. In a statement after the vote, Gallagher said the amended version of the bill addressed his concerns over polygamy, and here's a quote, creates strong religious liberty protections for religious organizations. He said the bill moves the issue of marriage to the states while ensuring decisions made in one state are honored in another. The Supreme Court found, again a quote, the Supreme Court found there was a constitutional right to same-sex marriage in 2015. And while the possibility of a decision being issued is extremely low, that's not an excuse for Congress to ignore the issue, Gallagher said, referencing Obergefell versus Hodges, ruling that made same-sex marriage legal across the country. Till Clarence Thomas gets his shot at it. Again, a quote, it is far better for Congress to pass legislation that protects religious organizations and provides stability to millions of people in same-sex marriage than to rely on federal judges to make these decisions. The Respect for Marriage Act would require states to recognize marriages that are considered valid in the state where they were performed, but would not mandate states to allow same-sex couples to marry during the 2015 Obergefell decision, should it be overturned. It would also repeal the 1996 Defense of Marriage Act, which defines marriage as between a man and a woman, and allow states to not recognize same-sex marriages from other states.
Crudy, Democrats had put a priority on passing the legislation in the wake of the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, the decision guaranteeing abortion rights, after which Justice Clarence Thomas said the court should reconsider its previous due process precedents, including the Obergefell decision. Stiles' vote on Thursday was in line with his July vote when he was the only Wisconsin Republican to support the measure. Wisconsin Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany, Glenn Grothman, and Scott Fitzgerald voted against the Respect for Marriage Act, and Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson opposed it last week. It really just maintains the status quo, Stiles told WISN-TV earlier this week. This is the political bickering, I think, that people are so frustrated with. This is the home stretch of one-party Democratic control, but ultimately it doesn't alter state law and just maintains the status quo. Baldwin, a Madison Democrat, has led the push to pass the Respect for Marriage Act. She praised the House passage of the bill on Thursday, quote, this is an important and historic step forward in ensuring dignity and respect for all Americans. Baldwin said in a joint statement with Arizona Democratic U.S. Senator Kyrsten Sinema and Republicans Susan Collins of Maine, Rob Portman of Ohio, and Tom Tillis of North Carolina.
It doesn't surprise me, but it does bother me that Tiffany, Grothman, Fitzgerald, and of course U.S. Senator Ron Johnson all opposed to this marriage equality. And Ron had, you know, had made earlier implications that he might be down for this. And then he claimed, you know, he just wanted to let the pressure off because people were asking him tough questions, right?
So just leave me alone. Well, I wonder. I'm looking at the picture at the Journal Sentinel. Brian Stiles, Mike Gallagher, younger dudes, man. I mean, these guys are younger than us, and I imagine Fitzgerald, Tiffany, right? These cats, and of course Ron Johnson. They're all older, so I think there is some of that in this vote. And so, again, congratulations. Our guest tomorrow, Senator Tammy Baldwin from the great state of Wisconsin, just keeps getting the job done. But you know, I'm. You don't mean the religious side of this. This Respect for Marriage Act also codifies interracial marriage, right? Well, what about those religious people who had an issue with interracial marriage? I mean, a lot of the people who claimed to have a problem claimed it was because of some interpretation of the Bible, right? But now those religious organizations that would want to discriminate based on interracial marriage? Oh, that's no longer acceptable. But you can do it on gay marriage. So I'm not buying it. But you know, we'll take the little victories when we can.
Let's hear from Speaker Pelosi, who shepherded this through the U.S. House of Representatives. Ebo, I'm going to need your help here. If you would, play Speaker Pelosi, cut number 20, saluting the U.S. Senate.
I want to salute the Senate for its strong bipartisan legislation under leadership of Chuck Schumer and Senator Tammy Baldwin, and the bipartisan strong support that this House gave the legislation to send it over to the Senate.
Tom, did you mention Tammy Baldwin coming around tomorrow at 4:30? Did we mention that?
I think we mentioned that.
More from Speaker Nancy Pelosi. She references the Roe v. Wade decision. Dobbs, obviously, cut 21.
Since the Supreme Court's monstrous decision overturning Roe v. Wade, right-wing forces have set their sights on this basic personal freedom.
And she points out, it's really just right-wing extremists that would hope to overturn same-sex marriage. More from Nancy. Cut 22, please.
Once signed into law, the Respect for Marriage Act will help prevent right-wing extremists from upending the lives of loving couples, traumatizing kids across the country, and turning back the clock on hard-won progress.
Right-wing extremist. I think she means you, Clarence Thomas. More from Nancy Pelosi. Ensuring full equality. Cut 23, please.
This legislation is the latest step in House Democrats' fight to win full equality for LGBTQ Americans and forge a more perfect union that our children and their children, all of our children, deserve.
More from the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi. Cut 24, please.
Today's vote will codify a legal reality already handed down by the Supreme Court and ensure DOMA can never again be used to justify hateful discrimination.
And I think that makes it something of a great day, according to Nancy Pelosi, played for the people, Ebone.
What a great day, isn't it? Aren't we happy to be here?
It is a great day, Dom. I mean, it's too bad that we have to see a vote in the House and a vote in the U.S. Senate to protect marriages. I mean, this is also decided law. You're right, Ron Johnson. We shouldn't have to go back and revisit this. But, of course, Clarence Thomas tells us we must. We must, because the conservatives, the extremists on the court that Nancy Pelosi alluded to, they're more than willing to take another crack at it. I mean, Clarence Thomas, would he rule out interracial marriage? I mean, I know Jenny's been a bit of an embarrassment of late, Dom, but if you could go back and roll back legislation, you know, throw it out as unconstitutional in some way.
Well, he'd grandfather
get rid of the misses.
Yeah, just no more of that. I do
probably
have to say,
cheaper
though,
than a divorce.
Wisconsin Republican Congressman Brian Stile, Mike Gallagher, thank you for doing the right thing, voting for the Respect for Marriage Act.
And Scott Fitzgerald and Tom Tiffany, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Glenn Grothman, and of course, Van Orden. He'd be right there with the rest. On the wrong side of history, once again, they find themselves down. And they're okay with that. You know, somehow they think it gives them some sort of electoral advantage. We, the people of the state of Wisconsin, are truly bigoted, they would hope, because that's the only way their votes make sense. Come back. We, the people, we, the devils, we'll be right back.
What an incredible Cinderella.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than 1 million veterans each year.
Alex Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages.
Start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Did you stand there all alone?
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. You can always join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, I'd like to continue playing a little backyard politics here in the great state of Wisconsin. You know, they're describing the midterms. The Republicans are something of a disappointment. Underperformed once again.
You think?
Now, I would point towards their advocacies and their, you know, their candidates
and their fascism,
but they would like to lay the blame at the lack of a full-time party chair. If only they had a full-time party chair, Dom, then the Wisconsin GOP would suck less. That's their theory anyways. Lawrence Andres, reporting at the the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But the Republican Party of Wisconsin poised to pick its third chairman in as many years. Some of the party are proposing a solution to the turnover. Make the position paid.
What? I mean, who would want that crappy job? What, to volunteer for that? For that kind of abuse? To put yourself out there like hit? You know, signing letters and getting in trouble with the, you know, fraudulent electors?
Well, we'll talk about that with former U.S. Attorney James Santel. He takes some excitement out of the fact the Department of Justice might be doing, the Federal Department of Justice might be, you know, let's just say, investigating the false Trump electors. See the aforementioned prior head of the Republican Party, the unpaid Andrew Hitt. He did it for the love of corruption, Dom.
Right, did it because he's a true believer.
Dom, here's what U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, apparently he's the head of the Republican Party in Wisconsin. Here's what he says. I've been talking to some of the individuals and saying, I think we need a paid chairman, mainly because we need a long-term chairman. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, Wisconsin's top Republican official, told the Journal Sentinel on conversations with the state's executive committee. The Republican Party of Wisconsin is a pretty strong party. It's pretty well-functioning, Johnson said. Pretty well.
It's a disarray.
Our problem is we're such an evenly divided state, so we just need to get better. We need to improve. Yes, you do, sir. The push for a full-time paid chairman, though not new, would largely put the state GOP on par with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, which has a paid chairman, and in recent years has had a large fundraising edge over Wisconsin Republicans. And the latest discussions follow midterm elections that saw Republicans fail to unseat Democratic Governor Tony Evers, Attorney General Josh Call, despite maintaining large majorities in both chambers. Well, that's attributable to a gerrymander. That's got nothing to do with better candidates or better ideas. We know that, Tom. Despite maintaining large majorities in both chambers of the state house and electing Johnson to a third term in the Senate. Around the corner is a heated spring election for the state Supreme Court, with the ideological balance of the court in play. the soul of Wisconsin in play, I would say, Dom. In 2024, Milwaukee will host the Republican National Convention as Republicans target the U.S. Senate seat held by Democrat Tammy Baldwin. You know, we'll have her on quite a bit that year, I suspect, like we will tomorrow, Dom. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us at 4:30. And the talks also come as Waukesha County Executive Paul Farrell said last month he doesn't want re-election, will not seek re-election, going to spend more time campaigning for his day job, will not seek re-election to a full two-year term as party chair, a volunteer role he assumed in August of 21, as he pursues a third term as county executive. And the party's executive committee is scheduled to meet Saturday to discuss the November election results and the state party's future. Among the names floated as potential successors to Farrell are our buddy from right-wing talk radio fill-in duties, Brian Schimming, an at-large member of the party's executive committee, Jesse Garza, the third vice chair, and Ben Vogel, our buddy who was also a campaign aide to U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Proponents of moving towards a paid chair argued the shift would provide the party with consistency and continuity. The current volunteer nature of the position, they say, prevents chairmen from dedicating all their time to the work, which mainly involves fundraising, getting involved with media, traveling the state to public events, and meeting with grassroots supporters. That time commitment is particularly challenging in a perennial swing state where elections are frequently decided by just a couple of points, according to Andrew Hitt, who's under the heat lamp for being a false Trump elector, right, Dom? He's the outgoing GOP chair from 19 to 21.
Hitt said, these days in Wisconsin, the election doesn't end. Hitt, an Appleton attorney, told the Journal Sentinel, in the past, you had some time to catch up. You had a down period. But because of where Wisconsin is at and the competitive state that it is, elections never end. So there is no break anymore. Hitt, who left the job in part to spend more time with family and focus on his career at law, said the chairman post is relationship driven, noting it involves establishing connections with donors, grassroots supporters, elected officials. More turnover, Hitt said, makes deepening those relationships more difficult. The state chair has to be dialing for dollars all the time. It's not like you call someone once and they hand over a big check. It is multiple phone calls, multiple touches, emails, text messages, in-person meetings to bring those dollars in. The demands of the job, I think, are so much more now than they have been in the past. Wisconsin's GOP volunteer chair structure is at odds with that of Wisconsin Democrats, who have long had a paid chairman. Our pal Ben Wickler, who has held the post for state Democrats since 2019, makes a salary of about $198,000, according to the party. Ben,
he gets paid
the beers next time, man.
He gets paid more than the governor or Senator Ron Johnson, at least from the day jobs, if you know what I mean, Dom.
He brings in a lot of money. Mike Tate, Wisconsin Democrats leader from 09 to 15, noted the growth of the party and changes in campaign finance laws in Wisconsin allow state parties to receive, in some cases, unlimited donations, made the party chair a key position. The Democratic Party of Wisconsin is consistently one of the strongest parties of the country, Tate said. And I think there's a direct correlation between having a full-time, well-compensated party chair. Yeah, no doubt.
You see the
dial for dollars and not even get any for yourself? Are you kidding me?
Do you see the difference in the numbers, Dom? The Democratic Party, great state of Wisconsin, raised $55.3 million in its state and federal accounts compared to $22 million from Republicans. That's a big difference.
Wah, wah.
Come back with us. We are the devil's advocates. We're better. That's the difference. You can tell you're listening right now. You can be a part as well. 844-967-2789. Dialing for dollars. You can call us. Just leave a little something.
I don't feel like my time here has been particularly successful.
The best is yet to...
A progressive voice from Manitoba.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Seward Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, a time when love and decency and generosity of spirit are their own rewards. Come renew your Christmas spirit with Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's performance of Miracle on 34th Street. Feel the joy and magic of the season with shows on December 9th and 10th and 15th through 17th, all at 7 p.m., and a matinee performance on the 17th at 2 p.m. Located in the Centralia Center, 220 3rd Avenue South. Buy tickets online at wrctheater.org.
Hey Siri, what's a shouse?
That's okay, Siri. I got this. A shouse is a building with the secure storage of a clary shed and the living space of a house. Combine the two and you get a shouse. We have so many options to create your very own shouse. Design your custom layout and choose from beautiful color and accessory options, all bundled with the industry-leading quality and warranty you expect from Clary. Visit clarybuilding.com today.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, that this department is reaching out to the community, and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The first Democratic candidate has joined the race for the 8th Senate District seat. Jody Habush-Sinikin, an attorney from Whitefish Bay, has announced her candidacy. A Democrat has not held the seat since 1992 when Darling won the seat and held it ever since. Some Democrats speculate the special election has a good chance of flipping the seat after the outcome of the midterm elections. Habush-Sinikin joins four Republican candidates running for the 8th Senate District seat. The primary will be held on February 21st. Santa is making time for pictures with children in Wisconsin Rapids at a special showroom set up at 851 Oak Street. There's even a mailbox set up at the corner of Oak and 9th for kids to send letters to the North Pole. Santa's showroom is open to the public Tuesdays through Fridays, now until December 23rd, from noon to 8 p.m., and on Saturdays and Sundays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows dip down to about 24 tonight under cloudy skies with a chance for snow. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, highs around 33, overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance of snow showers. Lows dip down to about 27. 1 to 2 inches of snow tonight through Saturday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Looking forward to Jim in the 5 o'clock hour. And looking forward to your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Always better when you participate. But Don, we're talking about the Wisconsin Republican Party. You know, they could solve all their problems if they could just find good help out there. You know, all these lazy Wisconsinites not wanting to work full time. So anyways, Don, I have a countering viewpoint. I find this one at the opinion pages of the Washington Post. Paul Waldman writes, the headline here, Republicans need to learn why the public keeps rejecting them.
They can't figure it out.
So Dominic, when Sally Field won an Academy Award for her performance in the 1984 film Places in the Heart, she told the world, "I cannot deny the fact that you like me. Right now, you like me." If anyone is more desperate for approval than actors, it's politicians. And today, Republicans ought to be looking at the electorate and saying, "We cannot deny the fact you don't like us. Right now, you don't like us." I never really did, but I read on. Some of them will deny this, of course, but after a succession of losses, their 2018 midterm blowout, Donald Trump's failed reelection bid, a 2022 midterm disappointment, and now Herschel Walker's defeat in a Georgia runoff, Republicans might look to the past for lessons on what to do after voters have rejected you over and over. If they do, they'll see that the parties that usually react to defeat, especially multiple defeats, by coming up with something to counter whatever they decided it was that the electorate disliked about them. And when they fail to do that, they usually lose yet again. The clearest recent example was the period leading up to the 1992 election, when a group of Democrats decided that the party had become too liberal and too devoted to tax and spend policies in Washington. Some believed that without change, they might never win the White House again. Republicans had won 5 of the prior 6 presidential. The answer was sometimes called the third way, an attempt to split the difference between liberalism and conservatism, including cuts to social programs and punitive criminal justice policies. Bill Clinton, a leader of the movement, won the party's nomination, became president, later declared, "The era of big government is over," angering many liberals. But Clinton was hardly an exception. Most recent presidential candidates who turned their party's fortunes around promised a new and different version of their party. During the 2020 campaign, during the 2000 campaign, George W. Bush criticized congressional Republicans for cruelty to the poor and called himself a compassionate conservative. Knowing that the public had recoiled at the impeachment of Clinton, he said at the party's convention that year, I won't do my George W. for a while.
Thank God.
"I have no stake in the bigger, bitter arguments of the last few years." W.
Crudy, Barack Obama, too, presented himself as different from his party. He was an early opponent of the Iraq War when most Democratic leaders supported it and offered a uniquely personalized version of change. And in 2016, Trump was contemptuous of the politicians in his party, both for their milquetoast personalities and their support of the Iraq War and NAFTA. Even Joe Biden's 2020 primary victory was a response to things his party worried the electorate didn't like about it. Though on policy, Biden was the party's most liberal nominee since George McGovern, Democrats quite consciously chose him from an unusually diverse field because they believed an older, straight white man would be the most palatable to the middle of the electorate. In every case, the successful candidate presented himself as a reaction to the things the public disliked about his party. So what would a smart Republican turn away from right now? Question mark.
Oh, let's enumerate the ways, Dom.
Many of the core policy goals of the party are deeply unpopular. Let's just repeat that for a minute. So, the whole article and opinion piece, I think this kind of cuts to the core. Many of their core policies, core policy goals of the party are deeply unpopular, including its desire to outlaw abortion and give tax cuts to the wealthy. But those are unlikely to change. More than anything else, what the electorate has recoiled from is Trumpism in all of its manifestations. The voters have pretty clearly had about enough with the election denialism, the QAnon conspiracy theories, the disregard for the law, the consorting with repugnant extremist bigots, and the relentless need to start petty squabbles with anyone and everyone.
I'm not clear that they've moved on from that. I mean, really, they're still embracive. Maybe not the Paul Ryan Republican sorts, but the base, they still love them for that.
Crudy, but that's only true of the general electorate, Paul Waldman writes. Senator Mitt Romney said after the Georgia runoff, quote, "If you can get endorsed by him in the primary, you're likely to win. If you get endorsed by him in the general, you're likely to lose." That was the story of this year's midterms. And that quandary is likely to be the story of the Republican primaries in 2024. Presenting yourself as the heir to Trump who isn't Trump, as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is doing, is likely to be a very appealing strategy for Republican primary voters. But to win in November of 2024 and take back the presidency, the Republican nominee will have to advertise how the party has turned away from Trump and resist a strong impulse to stick to the same course that won the 2016 campaign.
They will not. They're too craven for that. They're going to embrace Trump, I'm telling you.
Many Republicans want to spend the next 2 years stirring up culture war controversies and investigating Biden's family, then nominate Trump again. Right now, a portion of their base remains consumed with the idea that they would have won the 2020 election if only nude photos of Hunter Biden had been more widely distributed on Twitter. We're all tempted to react to setbacks by casting blame anywhere but on ourselves and insisting we don't need to change. But if you can't make the leap, the electorate will keep delivering the same lesson, Paul Waldman writes at the Washington Post. And ultimately, as I said, their core policy goals are deeply unpopular. People don't like them.
I take absolutely no responsibility whatsoever.
Zero.
He is inspiring to the Democratic base and the donor class. I mean, Donald Trump, he turns about just for the wrong team. But here's my point, Dom. They have not abandoned Donald Trump. I know you're hearing more and more pushback, and I would think it was a good thing if Donald Trump took a long walk off a short, flat earth. You know what I mean? I'd be okay with that. If Donald Trump was no more, not through any act of violence, but, you know, if he was gone, I would be fine with that. But they cannot abandon this man. They want to. The Paul Ryan Republicans want to. But I'm telling you, Ron DeSantis is a poor imitation. Ron DeSantis is weak. I mean, worst kind of weak. He's like bully weak. Guess who's not bully weak? Donald Trump's a full-on bully. He's the strong kind of bully. And he's going to make mincemeat out of Ron DeSantis on the debate stage. He's going to make him cry.
What do you
call Ron DeSantis
on,
may wet himself
DeSantis
on stage.
Cry. I mean, you saw how President Biden handled Trump.
He put him is in not place. DeSantis.
Shut up, man. You know what I mean? I mean, the act is getting stale, man. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, he can't come up with the nicknames. I mean, it is just
sanctimonious.
You can come back and play the tunes, man. But, you know, it's not the same. You can never go back. And people, I think, are getting sick of it. And let alone when some of these other legal headwinds come in, see what the end result of these things will be. Lots of time between now and the Republican primaries, Curdy. I mean, for a guy who claimed he is now out running for president, I don't think he's left Mar-a-Lago since. He did a phone-in with Herschel Walker. You know, so I think he's got other things on his mind these days. And I don't believe for a minute, because if there's one thing I'll tell you about what I believe about these Republicans, is when you smell the blood, they're going to just destroy him. And they will be more than happy to walk away from him when the indictments start flying.
Again, you're talking about what, the party leadership, the Andrew Hitz of the world? I mean, they were effectively willing to throw Andrew Hitt, the former Republican chair of the great state of Wisconsin, volunteer job, yet he was willing to sign off as an attorney, as a fraudulent Trump elector, effectively put his own personal freedom at risk because he's committed a crime. You know what I'm saying? And this is the guy they're going to move beyond, a guy they're willing to commit crimes that could throw their asses in jail? They will
yes,
not
because he doesn't
be
have the ability to provide the power that he once did. And once you lose that man, you are no longer valuable
lose?
In any way,
lose?
Shape, or form.
What power has Trump lost?
He's not the president, man. I mean, what can he do?
So he doesn't have the pardon power.
In, he's not sharing with the other Republicans. I mean, you think he would give Herschel Walker some money. You know, he would have lost as badly by 100,000 votes. I mean, Donald Trump's been taking all this money, hasn't been sharing it with the party, right? So you're not going to share the money, and you don't have the power, and the shtick is stale. And you might, I mean, you say he's a bully, so what? He just got punched in the nose rhetorically because he got, you know, what, impeached twice and thrown out of office.
No, I didn't.
He's getting grand jury subpoenas, and all these things are happening to him. His corporation's found as being a criminal, fraudulent enterprise. I mean, and this is in the last 3 weeks since he's declared his presidency. So, I mean, if all that happened in the last 3 weeks, can you imagine what the next 3 months are going to look like?
He owns the election cycle, Dom. Every story in the last 2 weeks since the guy declared has been about Donald Trump. And I don't mean here on this show, per se. I mean, you can say it's all bad news, man, but it's all headlines. How much you talking about Ron DeSantis lately? Since he won re-election, you talked about him at all?
I'm not clear Ron DeSantis is facing multiple grand juries. I'm not clear Ron DeSantis had, you know, top secret documents or, you know, yada, 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 man. I mean, of course.
So in other words, the
DOJ and Fulton County. Come on, you can go.
He doesn't know how to win the news cycle.
No, but you think Trump feels like he's winning right now?
Yes. Cody? Yes, No,
absolutely not. The guy does not believe he is winning. Otherwise, why would he be freaking out on the Truthy Socials talking about terminating the Constitution? That is not a coming from a position of strength or leadership. That is fear and weakness, man. And no one around him giving him a filter. That's what that is.
Okay,
he's got no allies that are paid.
You still have not presented a palatable alternative to the Republican base. Because it doesn't matter what guys like you and I think. It only matters what the Republican base is willing to vote for. And if they have not demonstrated their cravenness to you yet, I don't know what you've been paying attention to, man. Because we knew about the Access Hollywood video, the statements, the confessional video to Billy Bush. They knew before they ever elected the guy in the first place. And you could say, oh, well, these crime things are new. No, he's lived through two impeachments. He's lived through Russia, and every other thing. As far as the base is concerned, the Republican base, those that will vote in the Republican primary, they see this as a win for him. Because, of course, if he wasn't powerful, Dom, if he wasn't making a difference, why would they persecute him so? It just depends on your matter, your point of view. To his base, he's winning.
It's not a matter of point of view, man. I mean, you know, either Trump is being investigated for crimes, either he is or he isn't.
His whole adult life.
The payroll company is a fraudulent business or they're not.
Speeding right? ticket, $1.6 million relative to a multi-hundred million dollar company per year.
I got it. It's still $1 million and cracks open the door for Alvin Bragg, your buddy, to go do more things. But these things, you can have an opinion. You might think he's being persecuted, but a jury looked at the facts and said your organization is corrupt, guilty on all charges, both corporations, 17 of them, and it's just getting started, man.
And that will not affect more than a dozen Republican voters nationwide. The outcome in the criminal trial against the Trump board, that did not change a single Republican voter's mind, and it doesn't need to, Dom. I don't know why you're so working against me on this one. We should build this man up. He is the perfect nominee for the Republican Party. He's craven like you. He's not...
What?
He's not moored with any sort of morals. And he's the perfect candidate for the Republican Party for 2024. I think we should cheer for him, Dom. I think you got it all wrong, man. Come back. Devil's Advocates. Phone lines open. 844-96-PARTY. It's always a political party up in here.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists, in their own words.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open before James Santel joins us at the top of the hour at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the Washington Post reporting at this hour, basketball player Brittany Griner is on a plane to the U.S. after her release in a prisoner swap. I know we want to talk about this a little bit later, Dom, but let's start this topic. I think it was a bad trade.
What, Victor Bout, the Merchant of Death, traded for NBA star and Olympic athlete Brittany Griner?
The U.S. should have gotten at least a couple of first-round draft picks and a small forward out of the deal, Tom.
Nice.
I mean, Russia got all the value here. They got the Merchant of Death. You don't think that guy's feared in the paint? You don't call him the Merchant of Death for nothing, Tom. Strange deal. I mean, I think it's a strange deal. I feel like a U.S. citizen was effectively kidnapped. Now, her own actions, obviously she's been accused, alleged, and convicted in a Russian court of carrying hemp oil.
A vape of freaking weed? Are you kidding me? Like, I went and got from Detroit, you can get in Chicago, but out here in Wisconsin, we're very Russia like that.
Well, she was convicted to 9 years in prison, Dom. And obviously, Joe Biden, the Biden administration, wanted this American citizen back. Now, there are still Americans being held by the Russians. Paul Whelan, a former U.S. Marine, is still in Russia. He's being accused of being a spy. And the Merchant of Death, the Russian person, let's just call him person, the butcher, or pardon me, the Merchant of Death, well, he's got something of a reputation, Dom. You know what I'm saying? And to trade a U.S. citizen for a known arms dealer, it just seems like we have given too much value in exchange. This guy's a murderer. She's a WNBA player. Just because she has some notoriety, you know, minor celebrity, I guess, somehow that makes it an equal trade. And I know I'm kind of being smartass, but I don't feel like we exchanged equal value in this deal. It seems like the Biden administration, I realize we're talking about somebody's life, somebody sitting in jail, but she was there through her own actions. You know what I mean? She walked into Russia with a vape
pen. A gram of a vape cartridge gets you 9 years? No, I don't think she would have done that if she thought she'd get 9 years in a Russian prison. I don't think so. And I think
she wouldn't have done it if she thought she was going to get caught, Dom.
Come on, Crudy. Vape cartridges. You ever have one? Are you kidding me? 9 years? I mean, this Russian government is out of freaking control. And this is exactly what a lot of these Republicans love. Like the state of Wisconsin, you can't get legal weed here. And I guarantee you some of them would think, oh, you know, the devil's lettuce. If that would be the case, I wish you could put those potheads in jail for 9 years. No, it's not acceptable in any way, shape, or form. She did it, sure. So did I. Doesn't mean it's right to be illegal. It doesn't mean that your government should do everything they can to get you out. And of course, they're going to play the hand the Russians are. So American citizens, obviously, be warned, be wary. Certainly, certainly, especially if you're going to those authoritarian type countries. How about this? Don't go. Spend your money somewhere else. And I get it. She was playing ball, trying to earn a living. I can certainly appreciate that. But that's the risk you take. I bet she won't do that again. Is the European League still in Russia? Is that still a thing? I think all those things should be revisited, certainly. But to think that your government shouldn't do everything they can to get me out, get you out, get Griner out, get whoever out, because of less than a gram of a frickin' vape, that's an embarrassment. It's terrible.
Dominic, the latest, this being reported within the hour from the Washington Post, WNBA star Brittany Griner has been released from Russian detention and is on her way back to the United States. President Biden announced today Moscow released the athlete in a swap for a convicted Russian arms dealer, Viktor Bout, according to two senior administration officials in a separate statement from Russia's foreign ministry. Biden approved of the release of Bout more than a decade after his conviction, commuting his 25-year prison sentence. Griner has been in Russian custody since her arrest at an airport near Moscow in February, where she was accused of entering the country with an illegal vape cartridge containing, as Don pointed out, less than a gram of cannabis oil. Her lawyer said it was prescribed as part of her treatment for chronic pain and other conditions. The United States designated her detention wrongful and then gave up the merchant of death and fair trade.
What would you have done, Curtis? If you're President Biden, here's your choice. You can take, you know, give us the merchant of death back. We'll give you your ball player or no deal.
I would have at least sought the exchange of Paul Whelan.
They saw it, but that was the end of the deal.
Have made the deal, Dom.
Okay, I'm sorry. You go, it wasn't man. Good and that's why you're me. Not the president. You would rather have this American citizen illegally, wrongly incarcerated, as they put it, right? A wrongful detention. Well, hell, they broke the law, right? You'd rather do that. I mean, it's worth it to you to let her sweat in jail for 9 years.
I didn't say for 9 years.
Versus give up a guy who's got 25 years on his sentence.
What she's been in a Russian jail for a matter of weeks. And I'm sorry, but again, specifically, she exposed herself to this imprisonment. You could say, well, but it's only weed, it's only whatever. She went behind the iron curtain with
weed. Does that matter, Curdy? Does that matter to you? It doesn't matter to the Russians, right? You're given what I think the point here is they're going to find any way to try to game the system and make a scene out of it. That's how they roll, and that's what they did.
And we played into their game.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. This guy's been in jail for what? I guess he's been
10 years.
10 years ago. I mean, that's a pretty good stint for being an arms dealer named the Merchant of Death. I mean, I don't read the story. I don't know if he's physically himself murdered people, but, you know, arms dealers, you sell arms, people die because of arms. I mean, that's kind of how the industry works.
Or we exchange the Merchant of Death for a WNBA player because there's been notoriety and pressure on the administration. But I do not feel like that is in an equal exchange of value. I'm sorry. I don't see a convicted murderer as a fair exchange for a detained NBA player, WNBA player, wrongful or otherwise. There's lots of wrongfully detained people in the great old United States of America for a lot longer than a couple
or 50
of weeks.
Across the country as well. Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And if it was up for Republicans, then you know more people would be in jail for weed, which is wrong.
But it's on the books. And I got to think, when you enter a foreign country, dude, you got to live by the rule of the road, man. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. I got to tell you, I wouldn't have signed up for my stent playing in Russia if I was a pothead. If I needed that for chronic medical pain, guess what? I ain't playing in Russia because I'm not flying it in. Because you know what the outcome could be? 9 years imprisonment. You know, they're in an active war in Ukraine. Wasn't a great time to sign the contract, I'm just saying. Come back with us. More Devil's Advocates. More fine guests. James Santel, former U.S. attorney. The Happier Happy Hour. It commences right now.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably. Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.